Alright, I already touched on the unspeakable things that go down in the high school bathrooms, bro. But there's only one place on earth that is more foul than those bathrooms. And it's the goddamn locker rooms. That room smells like complete and utter dog shit mixed with Axe spray. Like, maybe I just went to school with a whole lot of Discord mods, but the rancid smell of the boys' locker room would contaminate anything in a 50-foot radius. And shit, Lord knows what goes down in that questionable place. Like, you'll walk in there and see anything, bro. Motherfuckers will be having fights, chicken fights, group fights, sword fights. Like, any laws and rules simply don't apply to the boys' locker room. Motherfuckers will be throwing hands, selling drugs, committing arson, committing several counts of fucking tax evasion. Shit, you name it. It's pretty much a GTA lobby in that bitch. Like, I remember one day I walked into PE and my teacher was like,
"Hey, nah, where's your PE strip?"
And I was like, shit, it's in the locker room. So I walk into the locker room and there's just two motherfuckers throwing hands and they just stop and look at me like, "Oh shit, I'ma just get my backpack and shit." So yeah. Alright, y'all be safe. And then they just went back to beating the shit out of each other. Now listen, I don't spend too much time in the girls' locker room, but anytime I walk by there, that shit smells like rose petals and rainbows. So I can only imagine there's no group fights, no chicken fights. Hopefully no fucking sword fights, and bro, you deadass can't leave shit in the locker room. Like, if you leave anything not locked up, it's gone. These kids are ruthless, bro. They're snatching your wallet, your phone, your clothes. Shit, they're taking your PB&J sandwich. And the thing is, if you want your PB&J back, you're gonna have to get it back in blood, because there's no laws in the locker room. See, if someone snatched my sandwich in math class, I'm turning into 6'9", bro. Mr. Cumminson, Jordan Johnson here, who lives on 123 Stickman Drive, postal code STK53Z, just stole my peanut butter and jelly sandwich my mom made me, so I'ma need his ass suspended. But if you try to tell a teacher about anything that happened in the locker rooms, they don't give a fuck. Mr. Principal, Jordan Johnson just stabbed me and stole my backpack, my phone, my wallet, and my ID.
Damn, I'm sorry to hear that. Where did this happen?
It was in the locker room after PE.
Oh, you said the locker room? You're just gonna have to get it back in blood.
Back in blood? What are you talking about?
Yeah. I'm not gonna lie. The way you're snitching right now, you kinda look like a bitch.
But yo, one time me, Billy, and Bob were coming back to the locker room after some good old dodgeball, and Billy notices a dude rummaging through his backpack. So he's like, yo, what are you doing, bro? But when he turned around, Billy was bamboozled to find out the kid rummaging through his bag, he was special. And there was just this moment of silence. Yo, am I supposed to like beat his ass right now, or bruh, I'm sure you didn't take anything, just politely ask for your bag back. Alright, yeah. Oh, hey man, can I get my bag back, please? And the kid just hugged Billy, and then he left. And I'm still confused to this day, but I'ma be honest. Locker rooms weren't all that bad, cause sometimes you walk in that hole and they would just be throwing a party. Now, it still smells like ass, and there was literally no females, but it was still kinda lit. Like, you'd walk in there and it would transform into the club.
Shout out my label, that's me. I'm in this bitch with TP. I'm in this bitch with Ultra.
Or you'll walk in there and they'll just be giving out free pizza. Like walking into the locker room is a gamble. You might walk in there and get robbed, or you'll get some fucking pizza. I don't know. But what I do know is there's only 10 types of dudes in the locker room. Starting with that one kid who must have thought it was the 1800s the way he was whipping motherfuckers. Next, we got the poor guy who's just trying to change. He's quiet, he's normal, and he changes. It's a locker room, so it makes sense. Then we got that one poor soul who gets absolutely cooked by the entire locker room. Yo, Why is Kevin built like Mike Wazowski? Bro's got no neck. We're stick men. None of us have neck.
Shut up. You skip neck.
Yeah, he skips neck.
Next, we got Bob. Bob's just that guy that casually takes his shirt off, and he's built like Giga Chad. Like, shit. Fucking sexy ass Bob. And I don't know why, but there was always that one guy who thought it was a good idea to just whip his nuts out. Unprovoked, uncalled for, completely out of pocket. Like, what do you look like with your nuts out in a room with 30 half-naked sweaty dudes? Like, personally, in that situation, I'm keeping my balls in my boxers. Thank you very much. And bro, tell me why there was always one kid who was just dousing himself in axe spray. And it's always the mustiest motherfucker doing it too. Like, who's gonna tell him that axe spray doesn't replace taking showers, bruh? And I don't know about your locker room, but for mine, there was always a dude eating. Like, out of all the places on earth, why are you eating in the locker room? Like, for some reason, there's something about eating around a bunch of dudes in their boxers that just doesn't sit right with me. I mean, simply by bringing that sandwich into the locker room makes it contaminated. That sandwich will be tasting like wet dog and axe spray. And next, we got the kid who just makes as much noise as humanly possible.
Shut the fuck up.
And then there's that one dude who decides he's having a shower. And all power to that guy, but personally, there is no fucking way I'm showering in school. Like, I can't trust this little door to stop these menaces from breaking into my shower. Cause remember, there's no laws in the locker room. Like, it's no jail, but I'm sure if you drop the soap in there, you're gonna get violated. And of course, you got the fiend. There's always a dude fiending for a vape in every locker room. And it's low-key worse in the locker room than the bathrooms. Like, these locker room fiends would do a little bit too much for some nicotine. I've seen them pay $5 for a single hit, and fuck, I don't want to know what they'll do for a hit when they run out of money. And still, I'm not gonna lie, the high school bathrooms get wild. They'll be hotboxed, there'll be fight clubs, but the thing about the bathrooms is a teacher can walk in at any time and get every student suspended. Like, even the poor kid taking a piss will probably get suspended just by association. Which is exactly why the high school locker rooms get so fucking rowdy. Because there's truly no teacher strong enough to stop the buffoonery that goes on in these locker rooms. So they don't even try. Shit, I don't care if your teacher is John Cena. There is no single man who can put a stop to the fuck shit that goes down in the locker rooms. But there is one thing that can. A female.
Everyone experiences being drunk differently, and it can change from time to time as well. But I'd say most people fall into a few general categories, one of which is the aggressive drinker. These people have to have pent up and saved anger for years, and just decide to let it all loose when they take a sip of alcohol. I feel like they might even just be using drinking as an excuse to sock someone in the face. And the main problem with aggressive drinkers is there's always at least one of them at every function. Sometimes they can be tamed, but if you just let them do their thing, then the function just turns into the Battle of Vimy Ridge, bro. You don't want your friends to be aggressive drinkers, because when they do something stupid, you just have no choice but to back them up, because that's your homie. Coming up next, we have the depressed drinker. I know lots of people who are usually happy and energetic, but when they start drinking, all of a sudden they think I'm their therapist or something. Like, of course I want to help my boy if he's in his feels. But I'm hammered too, bro. I can't help you get your ex back. Now listen, I'm no scientist, but alcohol is a depressant. Which means, it makes you depressed? Bro, I don't... Pretty much what I'm trying to say is, if alcohol makes you sad sometimes, don't worry, it's normal. Next up, we have the flirty drinker. Now, these types of people are a common appearance at parties. They just kind of go stumble over to someone and just start spit game. One thing I do respect about flirty drinkers is that they're perseverant, bro. When they get rejected by someone, they just take it like a champ and keep pushing to the next one. Usually, flirty drinkers go rotate around the party and try for their first few contenders, But eventually, at the end of the night, flirty drinker...
Bro, who the fuck are you?
And of course, we got the designated driver. Next, we got the loud one. Hey, bro, sometimes the alcohol just makes people talk way too loud. In some settings, it'll slide. But in other settings... At parties, these are usually the type of people to be in the mosh pits, because they're always super high energy, and sometimes they can be kind of annoying. Man, who would be this type of drunk, am I right? Alright, it's me. And if anyone else is this type of drinker, I know you can relate. When you wake up the next morning, not only you get hit with the hangover, but your voice is just completely gone. And I'm not even usually a loud person. But man, alcohol just works its magic and has me yelling like Kai Sinat. Hangovers being this type of drinker has to be one of the worst. I guess next to aggressive drinkers, you know what I'm saying? Anyways, we're moving on. You also might have encountered the philosopher. I couldn't tell you why, but for whatever reason, after taking 5 shots, some motherfuckers just become a philosopher, bro. They just have philosophical questions coming out of nowhere. And they low-key be spitting too. Hey man, love doesn't even exist, bro. It's all just an illusion. Love is just a chemical reaction that occurs in your brain that was programmed to make us inclined to reproduce. Next up, we have the OD, overdrunk. This is the 7th and final stage of being drunk. If you've seen the 7 stages of drunk video, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. But some people are just prone to drinking way too much. And somehow, they always find themselves blackout drunk. But yeah, there's not much to say. They're pretty much just unconscious. And of course, we have the chill drinker. These people are just pretty neutral. They just be talking at a normal volume about normal stuff. And honestly, these people are just overall enjoyable to be around, especially when you're drunk. Let me know in the comments if I missed anything. And also let me know which type of drinker you are.
Eating magic brownies. If you've ever ingested one of these exquisite delicacies, you would know there are some clear distinctions between eating magic brownies and puffing magic clouds. First off, magic brownies are some dangerous shit, but in like a sneaky ass way. Kinda like how if I knew nothing about raccoons and I saw one chilling on the road, I would be like, aw, that's a cute ass raccoon. I'm gonna go help it across the road and make sure it's safe. Hey little guy.
Goddamn, fuck.
You see, that's dangerous. Which is exactly like when you see an innocent brownie chilling on the counter, waiting to be eaten, and you're like, shit, that brownie's been chilling there for a little bit too long. I'm just clean it up, you know what I'm saying? And shit, the next thing you know, you're laying face down on the floor, 4 bags of Doritos deep while watching Keeping Up with the Kardashians. not that that happened to me or something, like, you know. Anyways, secondly, the brownies are made to catch you lacking. I mean, if you've tried edibles, you'll know what I'm talking about. You'll have a good piece, like enough to get you baked, but that shit just doesn't hit. Bro, I really don't feel anything. You probably just didn't have enough. Alright then, let me have some more. Yeah, got you. They'll have you eating 3 brownies at a time, like... Fuck, bro, I've eaten 3 goddamn brownies, and I don't feel shit. Like, do they even work? Yes, they do, bro. Look at Eric. That motherfucker only had half. What the fuck? He only had half a brownie? I've eaten 3. Them things can even take up to a few hours to hit. They'll leave you with the good old... Damn, bro. These edibles ain't shit. These bad boys will have you seeing rainbows. They'll have you lagging in real life. I mean, shit, if you have enough, they'll have you out here talking to Pop Smoke. And the thing is, the magic clouds will introduce themselves to you before they hit. But the fucking magic brownies be coming out of nowhere on some Randy Orton shit, leaving a motherfucker RKO'd out of nowhere. And I'm telling you, there's something about edibles that be changing your settings. Like, that bitch lowers your FPS, changes your render distance, and maxes out your sensitivity. I mean, one time I gobbled down a brownie, and when I touched a blanket, I felt every bristle, every microfiber, and every single atom in each microfiber. I mean, it was really a blessing and a curse, because every time my shirt would wrinkle, I would take 1 HP. But at the same time, a bowl of ice cream had me busting, bro, because magic is some powerful shit. Like one time a good friend of mine got fooled by the good old, "These edibles ain't shit, let me pop some more." And when those edibles hit, they changed every setting this man had. Yo, Robert, you okay? How you doing, bro?
¿Quién es Roberto? ¿Quién verga eres tú? ¿Y quién eres tú? ¿Dónde estoy?
Hold up. Does Robert know Spanish? No, bruh. That motherfucker only knows English. Shit, Robert ended up legally changing his name to Javier. And that motherfucker moved to Barcelona. He just never came back. So like I said, those magic brownies are powerful, and you can do with them as you please, but remember, with great power comes great responsibility.
Chug, 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 chug.
Bro, God, you're crazy, crazy, just bro. One more.
No
chill.
Way.
Yeah, oh, let's
shit.
Go.
Are you good?
Ooh. Damn.
Blacking out drunk. It's not a fun experience. In fact, it's on the list of the top 3 worst things to experience, ranked just below giving birth. Now, if blacking out drunk is so bad, you may ask yourself, why do so many people do it? And truthfully, there are only a few reasons why one would inflict such a brutal pain on their liver. The first reason is impatience. Some motherfuckers just can't wait the 15 minutes it takes for alcohol to kick in, so they slam back one too many shots. And when that shit hits, that shit hits. Or secondly, peer pressure. I mean, to be fair, you will look cool as fuck for those 3 minutes where you're down in a bunch of vodka, until you're lonely, gurping into the toilet, reconsidering your life decisions. Or because it's yet another Valentine's Day, you will spend locked away in your room drawing little stick men on your computer because you get absolutely zero bitches. Wow, so relatable, am I right? But if you've never been blackout drunk before, let me explain what it's like so you never have to experience it. Phase 1, I like to call smooth sailing. This is where you got a few drinks in you, but you're still chilling, or as many like to say, you're tipsy. But say, as you're observing your surroundings, you make an astounding discovery and find out the function has Hennessy. That shit will take you straight to phase 2. Sauced. At this point, you're just drunk, bro. You're doing some fuck shit, you're saying some fuck shit, and Lord knows you're probably thinking some fuck shit. Some symptoms that you're in phase 2 will include sunglasses appearing on your face, the sudden urge to steal traffic cones, hitting the nene, staring in the bathroom mirror for 10 minutes and saying, "Damn, I'm drunk as fuck." Now, it's at this phase whether you decide you're gonna have a cool, fun night, or if you're gonna end up looking like Nate Robinson. Like, when you're offered more alcohol, don't drink that shit. I repeat, do not drink that shit. "Hey, do you want some of my drinks?" "Fuck no." Do you want a sip of my..." Aw, shit, you done fucked up. That's the type of shit that will have you in phase 3, which I like to call, "Shit, I don't feel so good." As you can tell by the name, this is where shit starts to go downhill. You go from having a jolly old time to quivering on the floor with your liver fighting for its life. And this is the moment when your memory starts cutting out. You can remember some things here and there, but half of the night simply vanishes. And to be honest, that's gotta be for the better, bro, because I don't know if you wanna remember the pain of being in the downwards dog position while vomiting your guts out. It's not a fond memory. But to get to phase 4? God damn, the function would have to have a lot of fucking Hennessy. In order to get this drunk, you gotta be going through some shit. You gotta be in Spain without the S. You gotta be in Champagne without the sham. You gotta be going through some cock and ball torture without the cock and ball part. Or you gotta make a pretty big miscalculation, bro. Either way, you ingested enough alcohol to kill several farm animals, and this is roughly what you're gonna remember.
Nothing, bro. You're not gonna remember jack shit.
Pretty much 30 seconds after laying eyes on that juicy bottle of Hennessy, you teleported into your bed with a crazy headache and no recollection of what the fuck just happened. Which takes you straight into stage 5. Grief. You go on your phone to ask the homies what happened last night, and the very first thing you see in the group chat leaves you frightened, appalled, in disbelief.
You thought I was killing you? No. That nigga off money.
Now, I don't know what gremlin takes over your body when you're blackout drunk, but there is no reason I should be throwing my shit back like Ice Spice. Well on video. Like, it's cool behind closed doors and all, but in public? The fuck? And I understand that consuming enough alcohol to make you forget the night completely has horrible effects on your body and kills an unholy amount of brain cells, but like, that's really not even the worst part, bro. Like, my brain can take one for the team, but my dignity? If I see one more video of me dropping that shit to the floor, I'm done, bro. That's it. You wake up the next morning not remembering a single thing, but as you see more videos, read more text messages, collect more data and evidence from that night, you begin to piece together the puzzle of a night that should not be remembered, leaving you in grief. But that's not all, no. Phase 6 is pain. Cause you don't even wanna feel the extent of a blackout hangover. That shit will have you feeling like you got hit by a bus. And shit, you might have actually got hit by a bus. You wouldn't know. Shit will have you feeling like one of those musty old chihuahuas. Now, I don't know exactly what it feels like to be one of these things, but all I know is you don't want to be one of those musty old chihuahuas. I mean, it's not fun waking up all shaky with a throbbing headache and the urge to just stop existing. And every single time you blackout drunk, you tell yourself, I'm never getting this drunk ever again. Until the moment you realize the function has Hennessy. Halloween is the spookiest time of the year. Everywhere you look, it's vampires, killer clowns, old dudes in white vans trying to steal some children, which are all very scary things, especially killer clowns. But none of these spooky things scare me more than my worst fear. Going to jail, dropping the soap, and getting my booty snatched up. Now that's some real spooky shit right there. And I know some people are gonna be thinking, oh, that's just a myth, it's a stereotype, nobody actually gets their booty snatched up for dropping some soap. But when it comes to my booty, I don't want to fuck around, and I sure as hell don't want to find out. But everyone knows drinking can heavily influence your judgment, and on one specific day, my judgment was affected and I found myself fucking around. And everyone knows what the chart depicts. The more you fuck around, the more you find out. This story takes place in grade 10. It was a crisp Halloween night. The houses were decorated, the leaves had fallen, and the jackals were lanterned. And as me and Billy walked down to the homie Bob's crib, we could pretty much smell that Halloween spirit. And when we knocked on Bob's door, we were surprised the homie Bob didn't open the door. It was Bob the Builder. Dude was fully suited up from head to toe. And when me and Billy seen that, we already knew we needed some costumes. So we go to Bob's closet and come out absolutely dripping into Mario and Luigi costumes, mustache and everything. But now that we undeniably had that shit on, we still had yet to find something to do. But lucky for us, the night was still young, so we got to brainstorming. Alright, it's Halloween, bro. We gotta do something. Yeah, let's go find a party. Bet, let me check where they're at. Okay. Yeah, there's no parties, bro. Fuck. I mean, we could trick or treat. Shit, we might have to, bro. And just as 3 15-year-olds decided we would knock on strangers' doors asking for candy, our Halloween was looking grim. And not in a good way. But you know what they say. Can we fix it? Yes, we can. Because Bob pulls through and sets up a goddamn 3-man mission. And just like that, Halloween goes from an L to a W night. And I thought the homies and I couldn't get more hype, that is, until Bob pulls out a bottle of Hennessy. And And you would have thought Peach took the kids the way I was abusing that bottle. And we passed it around until we were all tipsy. Then we started walking to Chloe's house for the little Halloween 3 man. And it was already 9 p.m. at this point, so we're walking through the neighborhood admiring these decorations when we see the creepiest house of them all. It was Chloe's crib. So we walked through a whole graveyard just to knock on the door. And Chloe opens it looking like a whole angel. I mean, literally, she had the halo and the wings and shit. So we go up to her room where her two friends Lucy and Mia were, and we sit on her bed. And I'm not gonna lie, it was a little awkward, bro. I was sitting there with my Mario fit, my little mustache, like, Chloe, why'd you choose to be an angel?
I don't know. I just liked it. Why'd you choose to be Mario?
Shit, you know, Mamma Mia, am I right?
Shit. Fuck.
Then Chloe whips out some tequila and all of a sudden we're playing drinking games and shit. But honestly, I was just trying to get drunk, so it'd be like, haha, drink up.
Oh no.
Alright, it's your turn. Wait, you're supposed to get it in my cup. What the fuck? And after purposely selling multiple games of tequila pong, I was feeling what some would call completely and utterly drunk as fuck. And next thing I know, we're playing spin the bottle. And I was up, so I spin the bottle and it spins and lands on Chloe. And in my head, I'm thinking, and just as Mario's about to get some peaches, we hear the door open downstairs and Chloe's like, oh shit, my parents are home, hide. So me and the homies run into her closet with a bottle of tequila and we can hear her dad come into the room.
Hey, what's going on up here?
Oh, you know, we're just watching scary movies.
Alright, I'll be downstairs watching TV. Let me know if you need anything.
Thanks, dad.
And once her dad went downstairs, we all came out of the, we exited the closet and Chloe said,
you guys gotta sneak out through the front door, just be super quiet.
And so we creep down the stairs and peek around the corner and Chloe's parents are right there with a clear sight of the door. So we know what we have to do. We take a shot for good measure and then run to the door. And my drunk ass couldn't even figure out how to unlock this fucking door.
Hey, who is that?
It's a me, I'm Mario. Then we ran out that joint and we didn't stop running until I got a call from one of my homies named Dave. He was like, yo, what are you doing right now? Oh, nothing really, just drunk as hell running from Chloe's angry ass dad. Yo, oh, that's what's up. Come link me and Joe at Stickman Elementary. And we had nothing else to do, so we pull up. And it's Dave, Dave's girlfriend, Joe, and Joe's girlfriend. And they got some couples costumes going, but I couldn't help but notice Dave and Joe were shiestied up. What are you? If the Simpsons grew up in Chicago? Nah, I'm just Homer. Yeah, but I mean, Homer doesn't usually wear a fucking ski mask. Oh, yeah, no, I just wore this because we graffitied the hell out of this school. Joe was here? And Dave was too? Bro, what the fuck were you thinking?
What? Oh, you want me to include your name too?
No, hell no. And just as we become guilty by association, four cop cars come zooming down the street.
Oh shit, it's the cops, run!
And the cops hop out of their cars and start running at us with flashlights. So we head for the forest, but to get to the forest, we had to run across this long ass muddy field. And in the middle of this field, there was a huge pothole, and how did I know that? Cause I seen Marge absolutely eat shit right in front of me. And don't get me wrong, I was absolutely plastered, but as the cops got closer and closer, I could practically see myself getting caught and dropping the soap, and you know I wasn't gonna let that happen. And so with all that adrenaline, I Mario jumped that fucking pothole and hauled ass into the forest. And right when you get into the forest, there was this deep creek with a log going across it. But when I look back, I see the cops' flashlight getting brighter and brighter, so I say fuck it and take a run at this log. I get a good two steps and then my drunk ass slips. Boom, right into the muddy creek. But I don't have time to give a single fuck. So I run through this waist-high muddy water, and then we regroup and check who made it. I see Bob, Joe, Dave, and Dave's girl.
Yo, where the fuck is Billy?
No, where's my girlfriend, bro?
Oh, she ate shit a few yards back.
Wait, what? Is she okay? Did she get caught?
Shut up. Billy's calling.
Yo, where are you?
I'm hiding behind a tree right now. In the middle of the field, the cops are looking for me.
I bet we're coming.
I gotta go.
Fuck no, bro. If you go, you're gonna get caught. Listen, bro, I have to. He's the Luigi to my Mario. So I go back in to save Billy, and my main man, Bob, comes with me. So we get to the edge of the forest and see Billy absolutely shitting his pants trying to hide from these cops, but they keep getting closer and closer. So Bob turns on his flashlight and both cops look at him.
He's right there.
Get over here.
And while the cops were looking for Bob, me and Billy both run for the street, and we ran, but once we were at least 5 blocks away, we text Bob like, bro, we both made it, are you good? And Bob's like, So Bob makes it out of the forest and we all link up. And we take a moment to appreciate the fact that none of us went to jail. And more importantly, none of us got our booty snatched up. And after our moment of appreciation, we were like, yo, maybe we should have just went trick-or-treating. Yeah, bro, some Reese's Pieces would hit right now. I mean, it's not too late to buy some candy. So we all go to the store and cop the biggest packs of candy we could find. Then we walked back to Bob's crib and enjoyed the rest of our night while fucking up some Halloween candy. Yo, when you think about it, every light switch is also a dark switch. Light switch, dark switch. Light switch, dark switch. Okay, class, sound it out with me.
Ball. Ball.
When you really think about it, we learn to read, and then we read to learn.
Teacher? Teacher, yeah, I think change is high.
What the fuck? This is kindergarten. Damn. Any staircase can be a staircase to heaven if you're not careful enough.
Baby, I've spent the best 4 years of my life with you, and I can't imagine my life without you. You're a one in a million, so will you marry me?
So one in a million, huh? That means there's 8,017 people just like you. How does that make you feel? Yo, if you cut your leg off, would it hurt?
Of course it's gonna hurt, bro. What?
Nah, think about it. Where would it hurt?
Your leg.
Oh,
cause you cut your leg off.
Yo, what happens if you push down the gas and the brakes at the same time?
Shit, let's find out.
Oh shit, it takes a screenshot.
Damn, my eyes are dry as shit.
Just close them for a minute.
Damn, bro. You never actually close your eyes. You just look at the inside of your eyelids.
Damn. Yo.
Can anyone answer 547 to the power of 3? Yes, Chains.
Yo, did you know every single odd number has an E in it?
Damn. Chains, are you high again?
No.
Wait a minute, bruh. Since you were born deaf, what language do you think in?
Oh shit, you right.
Damn, I just realized squirrels' cheeks are also their nut sacks. You know what I'm saying? That's kind of like your mom.
What?
The way she had these nuts all up in her mouth. Bro, if everyone in the world all blinked at the same time, nobody would know.
Oh shit. That's facts.
Oh, I just blinked. Did you?
Nah.
Oh, I just blinked. Did you?
Nah.
Wait, what about just now? Yo, which of these buildings do you think has the most stories?
Oh, it's gotta be that one, bro. That's massive.
Nah, this one's even taller.
Oh, it's this one for sure.
No, it's this one.
No, that shit's library? Tiny.
Think about it.
Oh, the most stories.
How are you supposed to get clothes?
What are you talking about, bruh?
Okay, imagine you had no clothes, right? How are you supposed to get some clothes?
You go to the store and purchase that shit.
Bro, they're not about to let you buy some clothes while your meat's hanging out.
Nah, you just cop some clothes real fast. It's simple.
Bruh, a young kid walks by and it's wraps.
So you guys both have the power to read minds?
Yep,
yes,
that's
sir.
Right. Then if you both read each other's minds, whose mind are you reading?
Oh, I don't know. We could try.
All right, yeah, sure.
Nah, hey, that was not
yo,
me.
That was you for sure, dude.
Damn, bro. When you think about it, the hospital is the only building you leave without entering.
Damn. And people are having the worst day of their life, the best day of their life, the last day of their life, and the first day of their life, all in one building.
Damn.
Bro, I'm kind of scared down here. What? Why?
Because I'm scared of sharks finna eat my ass.
Well, when you think about it, there's more people eating sharks in the world than sharks eating people. Damn. That's actually really crazy to think about. Fuck, yo, every single day, there's some random motherfucker out there who took the biggest shit for that day. Yeah, yeah, he's in this room. Bro, it's literally just you and me in the room.
Yo, this Taco Bell is bussin'.
So he incorrectly assumed his position.
You spelled that incorrectly.
Spelled what incorrectly?
Incorrectly.
Yeah, yeah, but what's incorrect?
Incorrectly.
Wait, wait, what?
Wait, guys. When you really think about it, the only time incorrectly isn't spelled incorrectly is when it's spelled incorrectly.
Shut the hell up.
Yeah,
shut the fuck up. You know, the number of people older than you never increases. It only gets smaller and smaller. Damn.
What?
It just got smaller.
Yo, pizza's here.
Shit, I got the munchies. I'm about to fuck this shit up. Wait, I ordered a mushroom pizza. Why'd they give us cheese? Hey, any pizza can be a mushroom pizza if you're patient enough. Damn, I guess you're right. At last. Damn, you know what I just realized?
What?
A pregnant woman swimming is pretty much a submarine.
Are you just always this high, bruh?
Yo, did you boys know your last name comes from what your ancestor used to do back in the day? Oh shit, mine's Baker.
Yo, mine's Carpenter.
Oh, mine's Smith for blacksmith.
Well, what's yours, Johnny?
It's Donald.
Well, wait a minute. Your last name isn't Donald. It's hey, Dickinson.
Yo, guys, chill. Hey, I can explain. Pause. I can explain.
Your alarm is really your theme song because it plays at the start of every episode.
Why the fuck are you in my house?
Yo, is Chain still mad over that chair?
Yeah, well, what does this dude have against chairs?
Why is it a chair?
Yo, why is there sidewalks in the movie Cars if there's no humans?
This dude won't shut up. Like, just watch the fucking movie, bruh.
Damn, think about this. When a child is an asshole, the child gets a whooping. But when the parents are an asshole, the child gets another whooping.
Shit, tell me about it, bruh.
Fuck. Bro, you've checked the fridge 15 times already. No good food's finna magically appear.
Damn. Now that I think about it, we don't keep checking the fridge for new food, but rather we keep checking to see if our standards have dropped low enough to eat the shit that's already in the fridge.
So we got Mercury, Venus, and then here's Earth.
Yeah, Chains, what do you want?
If Earth is the third planet from the sun, does that make every country a third world country?
You're high again. Just get the fuck out of my class.
And look at these sheep.
Sheep. Sheep.
You know how one of your teeth is called a tooth?
Yeah.
And one geese is called a goose.
Okay.
Then why isn't one sheep called a shoop?
All right, Chains. A shoop. I can't keep doing
Shoopity
this.
Doop.
We have to break
sheep,
up.
Shoop.
Know what I've been thinking?
Yeah, what's up?
Teenagers be whipping that shit like they're always running out of time. But old motherfuckers be driving like they got all the time in the world.
Like, look at this geezer.
Poor guy's practically decaying behind the wheel.
But he's taking his time like he's got any time to spare.
If I stab this cereal box, does that make me a serial killer?
That one was straight ass. You gotta work
on
that shit.
Right, I'm gonna work on that one.
Yo. If you weigh 99 pounds and you eat a 1 pound burrito, does that make you 1% burrito?
Yo, that's crazy, because I literally just did that last night.
You guys wouldn't believe this, but your blood work came back and it says you're 1% burrito.
Yo.
Yo, picture this. Imagine if Ed Sheeran was working at a bread place, right? Would that make him the gingerbread man?
Your eye is shit.
Alright, bro, I'm a dip.
Nah, don't leave me alone in this forest, bro.
Hey,
when you really think about it, you're not scared to be alone in this forest. You're scared you're not alone in the forest. You feel me?
Yo, that's actually so true.
Bro, you know what? Low key, if you're dead broke, robbing a bank isn't even a bad idea. Bro, there's no way some hobo's about to pull off a bank heist. Nah, but just think about it. Whether you successfully rob the bank or not, either way, you get over 10 years of bills you don't gotta worry about.
Alright, fuck it. You got the strap?
Yup.
Yo, throw on your seatbelt really quick.
Nah.
What? Why not?
Well, you see, it increases my risk of dying from cancer. What are you talking about, bro? That shit makes no sense. Just let that sink in. Oh, yeah, I got you. Yo, what's up? But still, that shit makes no sense. No, but actually think about it.
Oh.
Hey, bro, you wanna hit? Nah, I don't smoke. I'm scared that I'll get all paranoid and shit. Hey, man, if you're paranoid that you're gonna get paranoid, you're having the side effect without even smoking.
It's your rule.
Damn, you look high as hell. A little bit too high. But bro, are you good? Damn, I've been there, bro, but don't worry. I know just what you need.
Wait, what's that over there?
Shit, are you still high? Damn, that usually works. You really gotta be high as shit, huh? Alright, listen. Just chill out, bro. I know you probably think you're ODing on Mary Jane, but trust me, you can't. In fact, scientists say you would need to smoke at least 20,000 joints in 15 minutes to OD. And trust me, once you hit the 16,000 joint mark, your lungs will be looking like dehydrated SpongeBob. Oh shit, speaking of dehydrated SpongeBob, you're looking like dehydrated SpongeBob. So here, drink some water. You gotta quench that cottonmouth, and water's always a safe bet to flush out some of that unneeded THC. But you know what tastes better than water? Some goddamn motherfucking lemonade. So find the nearest lemonade stand and absolutely ravage that shit. Leave no lemons to spare because science says lemons contain limonene, which is a compound that can counteract the THC by calming your brain. Another solid way to calm down from a crazy high is sniffing some peppercorns.
Whoa, wrong line, bro. You're trying to get less high. You're supposed to sniff this one.
Okay, now how you feeling? Damn, still too high? God damn, how much did you smoke? Shit. Oh, I know just what you need. A dap pen.
No, listen, this is no regular dap pen. This is a CBD pen. Now when you take a hit of this bad boy, the CBD compounds in your brain will sit in the chair the THC would have sat in, meaning the THC can no longer infiltrate your brain and convince you there's somebody in your walls. Plus, the CBD can help you chill out a little bit. So here, take a hit. Oh fuck, wrong one. My fault. Here's the CBD one.
Okay. Now before I keep telling you everything you should be doing, it's pretty important to hit you with a few common mistakes motherfuckers make when they get too high. Do not attempt any of the following.
Call an ambulance.
Call your mom.
Smoke more.
Eat oranges.
Watch horror movies.
Cook with oil.
Start a fire.
Going into a public setting where speaking is necessary.
Spend your life savings on food.
Operate heavy machinery.
Convince yourself you're the only real human person on the planet and everyone else is really just the AI programmed to pretend like humans and everyone you've ever known wasn't even really a human, including your mom, your brother, your home, or driving.
Don't drive.
Now, generally, if you avoid all these dumbass ideas, you should be chilling. So now that we got that out of the way, the best way to ride out a high is to gather all the finest munchies in the game, which include, but are not limited to, ice cream, sweet heat Doritos, Cheetos, pizza, some Mickey D's, milkshakes, Reese's peanut butter cups, pizza rolls, chicken strips, any sort of fruit, and of course, Cinnamon Toast Crunch. And once you've prepared a meal fit for champions, you can then throw on some absolutely amazing top tier YouTube content. Or if you're really trying to get invested, a cartoon. Now choosing a cartoon is gonna feel like one of the most important decisions of your life, so I'm gonna let you know right now. Just choose anything, bro. Your high ass could sit and watch Cocomelon for hours, so just choose a safe bet, like the most goated show of all time.
The Amazing World of Gumball. Now, once you've chosen your show, stop thinking so much and let the show do its thing. Because in just a few minutes, you're gonna be invested. And when I say invested, I mean you will invest your entire consciousness into the show. Like shit. You'll be in the show. You'll be out here posted up with Gumball and Darwin, and you can even chop it up with Gumball's fine-ass mom. And before you know it, you're 25 episodes deep, and then you step back and realize everything's gonna be alright.
Man, growing up, I was a great kid. I was a good kid. Man, growing up, I was a kid, bro. And as a kid, you hit a certain age where your own parents become your number one op. Like,
hey, mom, can I go to this girl's house?
No.
Hey, mom, can I sleep over at Billy's crib?
No.
Hey, mom, can I go do crack under the bridge with my new friend Jorge? Hey.
Hell no.
Come on, all my friends are allowed to.
Yeah. Okay, well, if all your friends jumped off a cliff, you're not just gonna...
Now, to be fair, my mom wasn't the strictest parent out there. I mean, I've seen motherfuckers get the belt for speaking too loud, speaking too quiet, bro, for speaking at all. Like, one time, me and my friend wanted to have a sleepover, so homie went inside to go ask his mom, and he came out looking like he got a whooping from Prime Goku, bro.
Yo, what the fuck happened back there, man?
She said no to me, but... I think if you asked her, she would say yes.
Bro, are you fucking insane? I'm not asking her shit.
Like, I really can't complain, because some of my friends' parents were so strict, they had a fun limit, bro.
Yo, George, we're gonna hoop after school. You wanna pull up?
Damn, dude, I'd love to, but, man, I watched a movie yesterday.
Okay. So do you wanna play basketball?
Dude, I want to, but my fun meter's maxed out, man. My mom won't let me leave the house till Monday.
Holy shit, fun meter maxed out for a week off a movie? Yo, what's this movie, bro?
Yeah, what? Yeah, no, it was good, man. It's called the VeggieTale movie.
Yo, George.
I feel bad for you, bro. Because don't get me wrong, I've seen a lot of kids with super strict parents turn out to be straight A students, go to good colleges, stay with a good crowd of people. But with that being said, a lot of these kids whose parents were too strict to let them watch fucking SpongeBob, they end up going to college and catching Krusty Krabs after letting a dude named Patrick explore their bikini bottom, bro. Nah, but for real, my mom was far from one of those parents. I mean, she was reasonable, but the thing was, all my friends were a year older than me. Now, mentally, we were all dumb as shit. But when you hit that 12, 13, 14-year-old age, that 1 year is the biggest difference, bro. Like, us doing shit together just didn't look right.
Yo, Bob, can you pass the zot? Yo, Billy, let me hit that.
Yo, pass me that shit, cuz.
And cuz of this, I wasn't allowed to do a lot of the shit that my friends were allowed to do. Like, these boys could stay out past 10:30 p.m. on a weekend. I could not. They could have a sleepover on a weeknight. I could not. They could all go to a girl's house without having to call her goddamn parents. I could not, bro.
Cause have you ever pulled up to a function? Motherfuckers are drinking. Motherfuckers are doing drugs. And you gotta ask the host to speak to her parents?
Hey, Kelly. Hey, killer party you got here. By any chance, can my mom talk to your mom so I can stay and, like, turn up and shit?
Oh, shit.
And when you're 12 and all your friends can do shit that you can't do, you're left with just two options. You can either be a good kid, follow the rules, do your homework, eat your broccoli, or you could be a bad kid, break the rules, fuck your homework, and smoke that broccoli. And boy, did I make the wrong decision. I remember the first time my mom caught me lying was back when I was in grade 7. It was just an average Saturday posted up at Billy's crib.
Yo, y'all boys know Rosa?
Yeah, I know Rosa. What's up?
Bro, she's throwing a birthday party at her crib tonight.
Aw, shit, man. We about to get freaky deaky on
these hoes.
Boy,
I'm about to get so drunk I forget how to speak.
Yo, on God, bro. Dead ass. That's facts. For real. Hey, Mom. I'm just calling to remind you how much I love you.
Oh, I love you too, Chains.
What do you want?
So, me and my closest friends got invited to a small little get-together at my friend Rose's house. Can I go, please?
Let me talk to her parents.
Okay, now, I was actually friends with Rosa, but she was 2 years older than me. So, I swallow my pride and text Rosa some along the lines of,
hey, Rosa, my mom wants to talk to your mom before I can come.
And she's like,
aw, baby boy needs permission.
Fuck.
And then she sends me her mom's number. So, I connect my mom with Rosa's mom. My mom gives me the green light, but says,
you have to be home at 10:30 p.m. sharp.
Say no more, Mom.
So me and my homie start getting fresh.
We're all up in Billy's dad's expensive cologne collection. I take the coolest looking bottle. Little spray here, little spray there.
Had me smelling like Tom Ford. Still looking like Thomas the Tank Engine. But after looking as fresh as possible, we head to Rosa's crib.
So we hop on the bus, hop off the bus, walk up to her house, knock.
and the birthday girl opens the door.
Happy birthday!
Hey, Billy Bob and Chains, I was waiting for you guys.
Happy birthday, Rosa.
Oh, damn, Chains, you smell good.
Appreciate it. That's that Thomas Fordinson, you know what I mean?
So Bob, Billy, and I go inside, and we realize the gravity of this situation.
Oh, shit.
God damn.
Rosa invited like 10 of her girlfriends and like 2 of her cousins, bro. We were completely outnumbered in the greatest way possible, bro. As I'm just doing some quick math on the ratio, there's a knock on the door. Rosa opens it, and it's Dennis holding a bottle of vodka. Now, we're friends with Dennis. Rosa's friends with Dennis. But to put it simply, Dennis was a bad kid, bro. This motherfucker was living life with no precaution, no regrets, no morals. But to be fair, he was fun as fuck, bro. Because when Dennis pulled up, the party got lit, bro. We were taking shots, dancing, playing beer pong, taking more shots. We were having a marvelous time, and I was drunk, okay? Not too drunk, but not just tipsy. I had hit the perfect sweet spot of drunk. I got all the stat boosts of being funnier, more confident, more smiley, but I still had full control of my body, so I started applying that pressure, bruh.
Hey, don't y'all both have ugly boyfriends?
No, what the fuck?
No.
Shit. Y'all want one?
What?
Damn, you smell good, though.
Appreciate it. I showered this week.
I don't remember what I actually said, but all I know is that in grade 7, cologne was overpowered, bro, because nobody was smelling good, and if they tried, they would just smell like Axe, dog. So I'm over here combining the powers of Tom Ford with the confidence of Smirnoff. Had me feeling like I'm him, bro.
So how y'all feeling?
I'm
honestly
feeling
amazing.
How you feel?
Shit, I'm feeling good. Just a little, you know, just a little bit tired.
I vividly remember sitting on that couch with these two girls, never wanting this moment to end, bruh. But when I look up, I see one girl crying, one girl looking for something, Dennis helping her look, and Billy and Bob are all ready to dip. So I hop off the couch for a second, like, yo, what's going on?
Yo, so Dennis just finessed like 3 of these girls' vapes, and we're not trying to get blamed, so we're about to dip.
Bruh, for real?
Yeah, you coming?
Bro, but like, bro, I'm not ready to leave yet.
Yeah, nah, it's cool. Don't worry about it. Just text us when you leave, bro.
Ah, shit. All right, peace, bro.
Peace out, dog.
So Bob and Billy dip. I see Dennis's ass sneak out through the back door. And at this point, I have no clue how long I've been here, bro. But the party had died down to essentially just the girls who are gonna sleep over and me, bro. So I go to check what time it is on my phone. And it's 10:15, bro. My curfew's 10:30, and I'm a 30-minute bus ride from home. But if we're keeping it a buck right now, I don't even want to go home, bro. I made it to the girls' sleepover, and I didn't even have to ride the group dildo or nothing. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. So I text my mom, and I lied, bruh. Bob, Billy, and I are almost at Billy's house. Can I sleep over at his house, please? Then I threw my phone away, hopped back on the couch, and went right back to my happy place. So I'm posted up with these two laughing, cracking jokes when Rosa walks up like, yo, Chains, where'd your friends go? They abandoned me, Rosa. They left me here stranded with no way home. Shit, I mean, you could just stay here if you want.
Say, you lied, so...
Appreciate it. And eventually, all the girls gave up on trying to find their vapes. They all gathered around to play truth or dare and die. Prayed for times like this, bro. I was deep in enemy lines and I didn't want it any other way until one of the girls sees my phone on the ground and is like, hey, Chains, I think someone's calling you. So she tosses me my phone. I check it. And I got 20 missed calls from fucking everyone in my contacts, bro. So I'm trying to be strategic with it to find out what's going on. I call Billy first. Yo, what's happening? Bro, so your mom called my mom and asked if you were here yet at my house. And my mom told your mom that you're not even here, bro.
Aw, shit. What do I do?
Bro, I don't know. And everyone knows when you get caught in a lie, you should just fess up, tell the truth, and apologize. But I doubled down, bro. So I called my mom and I'm like, hey, mom, we're almost at Billy's house. We just missed our second bus.
Where are you?
I'm at Stickman Middle School bus stop. You know, like, we're super close. We're just waiting for the bus to come.
I'm picking you up right now.
Fuck me, bruh. Now, not only is she expecting all 3 of us to be together at this bus stop, shit, not a single one of us is there, bro. To put this in perspective, my house is right here, Billy's crib is right here, and Rosa's crib is all the way over here, bruh, and Stickman Middle's somewhere near the middle. And so I pull up the bus app on my phone and see the next bus is coming in 2 minutes. And with all that adrenaline pumping through my veins, I jump up out the couch, steal a piece of gum, and haul absolute ass to the bus stop, bruh. I get there right on time,
pop on the bus and I call Billy. Yo, dog, I think I'm cooked. I told her I'm at Stickman Middle with you guys.
Dude, why the fuck would you do that?
Shit, I don't know. I'm busing there right now.
Bro, if she sees you there without us, you're cooked beyond belief.
I know, bro.
Yo, we're on our way.
So Bob and Billy hop on scooters and start hill bombing their way down to the bus stop to save my ass. And this shit was a race to get to the bus stop before my mom does. Because if she catches me there alone, I'm cooked. If she catches Bob and Billy there before me, I'm cooked. If she gets there before anyone, I'm fucking done, bro. I'm on the bus just praying. And when I finally get to the bus stop at Stickman Middle, I get out and take a deep breath because my mom's not here. But I'm shitting my pants because neither is Bob or Billy. And so I'm calling them, no answer. And I look down the road, I see some headlights. And this was not a busy street, bruh. And as the car is getting closer and closer, I can feel the anger radiating from the whip. I can almost hear the belt making contact with my cheeks. And the car pulls up, and it's just some random dude driving by.
Yo!
These motherfuckers, Bob and Billy, come flying down the hill. They get to the bus stop, throw their scooters in the bush, and pretend like we've been waiting here for an hour. Oh, gee, Wilkers, man, I can't believe we missed this bus, dude.
Billy, pray for me, bro.
Get in the car.
I get in my mom's car. I'm stone fucking sober. My heart is pounding. Why did you lie to me?
Well, I honestly wanted to spend more time at my friend's house because we were just having fun.
I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed, Chains.
That shit hurt way more than any punishment ever would have, bro. So even though Bob and Billy clutched up for me, I still got grounded, bro. But I did learn a valuable lesson. Just tell the truth, bro. It makes everything easier.
My first time eating magic mushrooms. Now this story takes place on a spooky Halloween night. And of course, when you're young, Halloween is about dressing up and getting candy from strangers. But as you get older, you grow to realize the true meaning of Halloween is to commit as many devious and malicious crimes in one night as humanly possible. Like when me and my homies first transformed from some young, innocent gentlemen into some unethical and deceitful delinquents, we planned out some criminal activities for our first teenager Halloween. Yo, trick-or-treating is for nerds, where we're gonna drink alcohol and smoke grass.
Whoa. Yeah.
That is so teenager. So you know, we drink their drink and we smoke their grass. Man, I sure could fuck up some Reese's Pieces right now. Not gonna lie, some Skittles would be fire. Alright, fuck it. So we threw on last year's Halloween drip and shamelessly went trick-or-treating baked as fuck.
Trick-or-treat.
Aren't you guys a little bit old to be trick-or-treating? No, but we got our candy and we went back to Billy's crib and the munchies took over. I mean, we fucked that shit up so fast that we changed costumes and we spun the block.
Trick-or-treat.
Didn't you guys already come here?
No. There's a snake in my boot.
So all Halloween, me and the gang pretty much just ate chocolate. But by the time next year rolled around, okay, this Halloween is going to be the best Halloween yet. But how can we top last year? Yeah, we already smoked grass and ingested alcohol well underaged. Cause I got these. This dude, Billy, whips out a handful of shrooms. And honestly, Billy didn't even need to convince us, cause me and Bob were trying to have the best Halloween ever. So we split it up, and we all down a sizable amount of magic mushrooms for our first time. And let me tell you, there are many smooth ways to consume some magic mushrooms. One being the pizza technique. As well as the good old PB and Shroom Sammy. However, we had smoked and we had drank before, but magic mushrooms were completely out of our expertise. So we just choked them shits down raw. And it was strange. It tasted like I just ate earth. If if Earth was dry as fuck and like chewy. But about 20 minutes after eating the shrooms, Billy has a genius idea. Okay, hear me out. We go trick-or-treating, collect some candy real quick, and come back. So when these mushrooms hit, we can be eating good. Okay. Wait, then we need some costumes. Okay, I do have 3 costumes, but like, just don't ask any questions, okay? Why do you have no questions, bro? Now let's go get this bag of candy. So we're mobbing around the neighborhood in some gangster Teletubby suits. And we roll up to the first house, like...
Trick or treat.
Aw, you guys are so cute. And we were banging out house after house. But after about 4 houses, I started to notice my Teletubby mitts were looking a little suspicious. But I didn't have time to think about the psychedelics that were potentially invading my brain because I had bigger priorities. Go cop some Halloween candy.
Trick or treat.
Trick or treat.
Trick or treat.
But as we walked up to the 8th house, I was undeniably tripping balls. Cause as I looked up at Bob, I just started uncontrollably laughing my ass off. And Bob's shrooms must have kicked in too, because we were both just hysterically laughing at each other for no reason. But then the door opened and I saw this tall ass bald dude with an unconceivably large smile on his face. I mean, the shrooms made it look like his smile was just unproportionately big, and I just assumed it was a Halloween mask.
Man, I love your Halloween costume.
What costume?
Oh, holy shit. We need to get home ASAP.
So we're making our way back home, tripping balls in our Teletubby costumes, and I'm just seeing the stars falling out of the sky. Then out of nowhere, Billy yells, "What the fuck is that?" I'm probably just tripping, but it looks like zombies running towards us at full speed.
Oh, yeah. I see it too.
Oh shit, we gotta run. So me, Billy, and Bob start booking it back to Billy's house. And I am hauling ass because there is no way I'm getting packed up by some zombies right now. And when I look back, I don't see some zombie costume. No, I see some real ass zombies. Like, bones sticking out, eyeballs look like they haven't blinked in centuries, and that shit just made me run faster. Cause to me, this was a life or death situation. I mean, in reality, it probably just looked like... Ah!
360, ooga booga booga!
We get back to Billy's crib.
Holy shit, get in.
Lock it. And we were not taking any chances. I mean, we barricaded every single door in the entire house. And for a second, it was a horrible trip. I mean, I thought I was in the zombie apocalypse. But once we settled down, we were having the time of our lives, chilling and eating candy while tripping balls.
Booga booga!
Greening out is the worst thing you can get hit with when smoking. And coming from a greening out connoisseur, I can tell you there are many different things you'll experience when ODing on that Zaza. I mean, greening out can range anywhere from a zooted panic attack all the way to seeing yourself in third person. And of course, if you go way too far, GURPing may occur. But let's start it off on a light note. When greening out, you may convince yourself you're about to fucking die. Now I know that might sound very bad, but trust me, it's even worse than you would think.
Like, this is the type of greenout that will have you falling to your knees in a Wendy's bathroom. The type of greenout that will have you repenting your sins. And the type of greenout that will have your life flashing before your eyes. Now, after a careful examination, I have determined this greenout is caused by combining an excessive amount of Mary Jane with negative thoughts. This circumstance causes a chemical reaction in the brain scientifically known as getting so zooted you convince your dumbass you're about to die. Syndrome. And I'm just gonna summarize the experience so you never have to experience it. So you take too many chops out of the... Because let's be real, it's always the chops. Then you begin to realize you got way too high. Everything starts lagging and you're on about 5 FPS. So you convince yourself that your time is up. And so you just lie there waiting for your impending doom that never actually happens. Another thing you may experience after cheaping too much keef is something I like to call a factory reset. Now I don't know the science behind this one, but for whatever reason, after smoking too much grass, that shit just starts hacking your brain and it hits you with that factory reset. I mean, all your past experiences, lessons, and most cherished memories straight deleted. You forget your name, your address, the ability to stand up. Now this is usually the point you'll get hit with that Kush coma. And if you aren't familiar with the term Kush coma, it's when the Kush puts you in a coma. Now for me at least, the one time I was put in a Kush coma, I didn't have a normal dream. No, I was put into a dream so realistic where I was just some middle-aged dude working a 9-to-5 with a wife and kids. But this dream did not last a normal dream length. It deadass felt like I lived this middle-aged motherfucker's life for a month. And when I woke up, I didn't know what was real. Now, I need to say this third experience will undoubtedly kill a sizable amount of brain cells. So with that being said, when you whiz way too much Khalifa, that shit is an out-of-body experience. Like, you'll be chilling, walking around, then all of a sudden that shit hits, and you're seeing yourself in third person. Yo, what the fuck? Now, I've tried to do a scientific analysis on this shit, but to be quite frank, that shit literally makes no sense. Like, who the fuck put the camera up there for you to be able to see yourself in third person? Okay, but anyway, it doesn't stop there. This change in your POV leads to an existential crisis. And through this existential crisis, you find the answer to life. However, when you go to communicate your new groundbreaking findings to the homies, it just sounds like this.
Bob.
Oh shit, he's alive.
Bob.
The stars. The trees.
Us. Our family. We are life.
Billy? I think Chains is greening. And let me tell you, greening out and lying face down on the floor go hand in hand. Like, you've never truly experienced greening out if you weren't looking like Neymar in the World Cup on some hardwood floor. Speaking of lying on the floor, this next level of greening out will have you becoming one with the floor. And I like to call it The hyperbolic time chamber. Now, if you go Super Saiyan on that gas, it will hit you harder than Chris Breezy, sending your high ass into the hyperbolic time chamber. 1 hour in the hyperbolic time chamber is equivalent to 1 minute in the outside world. This shit will have you feeling like you've been laying on the ground for 7 days straight. And your thoughts just get stuck in this endless loop like, damn, I need some cereal right now. Wait, I've been lying on this floor for forever, bruh. I'm gonna fucking die in this infinite loop. Wait, loop? Loop like Cheerios? Damn, I need some cereal right now. It's essentially like a fever dream in real life. But even longer. Okay, but for this last level of greening out, I need to say, please do not get this zooted. Because if you do, you will probably notice a sizable drop in your IQ, and you may even get brain damage.
brain fuck. So with that being said, if you do more chops than Bruce Lee, you will experience a pain I would not wish on my worst enemy. A pain worse than stubbing your toe, worse than hitting your funny bone, and even worse than finding out your girl has your homie's Wi-Fi password. And this is the pain I call ODing on the devil's lettuce. Now, ODing on the devil's lettuce is pretty much all of the above combined into one horrible, agonizing pain. Not only do you think you're gonna die, but you forget your name, eat shit on hardwood floor, see in third person, and on top of all of that, time is in slow motion. And with all this going on, you're pretty much on 1 HP and your body is fighting to survive. And this is the point where you start throwing up and you are stuck in this infinite loop of death for what seems like an eternity. So don't green out, it's bad.
3 a.m. Once the clock strikes 3 a.m., I feel like you've given up on trying to sleep. At this point, you're going to commit to whatever you decide to do until the sun comes up. Whether you're studying for tomorrow's math test, chilling on Discord with the boys, choking the chicken, or simply sulking in those 3 a.m. thoughts, you'll pretty much find yourself doing anything but sleeping. And I don't know if it's just me, but those 3 a.m. thoughts hit different. And honestly, it's just the perfect time to go for a walk, find a nice little view, maybe light up a joint, and just think. The youngest picture of you is the oldest picture of you. Does Lightning McQueen cop car insurance or life insurance? Wait. Did the brain name itself? Hold up. What if soy milk is just regular milk? Introducing itself in Spanish. I have no clue if this is just me, but every once in a while when I'm laying in my bed at 3 a.m., I suddenly get the motivation to become the best person on the planet. Like, I set an alarm for 5 a.m., I tell myself I'm gonna go work out, then go for a run, then meditate, then drink kale smoothies, then become a millionaire, then donate it all to a family in need. But as soon as my alarm goes off, I'm just like, shit, I'm too tired for all that. Then I just end up sleeping until 1 p.m. And my brain is constantly playing games with me, bro. Like, tell me why I'll be using all my strength to stay awake during the day thinking, man, I can't wait to go to sleep tonight. But when it comes time to sleep, I just can't. I'll be left lying there at 5 a.m. awake as hell, watching these random motherfuckers build a two-story house with a hot tub in the jungle. And you know what? Being awake at 3 a.m. is kind of like being high a little bit. Because you start to think about things you don't usually think about. And because you get hit with the fucking munchies, bro. I'll be whipping up a 3-course meal with appetizers and a complimentary dessert to watch a YouTube video. And listen, I can't explain why, but there is no better water than water at 3 a.m. I mean, it's pretty much a part of my sleep schedule now to wake up at 3, chug some water, take a piss, then go back to bed. But sometimes while I'm trying to go back to sleep, my brain just starts showing me a compilation of my top 15 cringiest moments. I mean, I'm having flashbacks to the time in grade 5 when I said a joke and nobody laughed. Guys, why did the monkey fall out of the tree?
Why? Why?
Because it was dead.
Oh.
Damn. Or I'll be up all night thinking about that one debate I had 3 years ago. Brainstorming about the best things I could have said in each scenario. It's like if I do some cringe shit during the day, I have no choice but to lose some sleep over it at night. It's like my punishment for saying some stupid shit. Like I know one guy who accidentally called his teacher mommy in front of the entire class. And that dude hasn't slept since.
Getting zooted is a remarkable experience. However, the moment you step into a public setting, everything changes. I mean, being baked in public is the equivalent of trying to run track with clown shoes on. It's the equivalent of being an astronaut in the ocean. It's like bringing a sword to a gunfight. And trust me, I've been caught lacking, baked beyond belief on several occasions. That is, until I learned the art of pretending you're not zooted. So, the first order of business is covering up that dank smell. Cause shit, you and I both know if you get caught reeking of that sweet, sweet smell of Mary Jane, your cover's blown. So take some Axe, some cologne, some goddamn Febreze, and just douse yourself. And just when you think you put too much, spray some more, bro. And although all this Axe is gonna have you smelling like a frat boy, crucial that we avoid the following scenario at all costs.
You get some of this.
Nice.
Yo, do you think you can still smell it?
Nah, dude. I can't smell it at all. What about me? Shit, it's like we didn't even smoke. But truth be told, both of these motherfuckers smell like weed, bro. The next order of business is those goddamn bloodshot eyes. I'm not gonna lie. Those eyes of yours are a dead giveaway, bro. I mean, you look fucking obliterated. Like, go look in the mirror. Yeah, we're gonna need some eye drops real quick. Just a few drops here, you know what I'm saying? Few drops here. Yep. Yeah, that's a lot better. But you know what? For a little safety measure, throw these hoes on. Damn. Now you're looking sober and fresh as fuck, but how are you feeling? Your mouth's a little dry, huh? Well, I got just the thing for you. You see this? Yeah, shit's called water. It's gonna help you with that cotton mouth, and it'll keep you hydrated. Yeah, that's some good old H2O. Nice. Yeah, no, go take a look in the mirror. Yeah, you're looking good. But before you go outside, we gotta go over some of the basic principles of pretending you're not faded. Number one is no rambling. Talking too much can be a slippery slope, which will ultimately compromise the mission. Yo, Chains, what time is it?
It's, 107.
107?
Wait.
Bro, 107 isn't
the
time.
How did the first person make the clock even know what time it was?
What is this dude talking about?
Did they just randomly decide and, you know, just start running with it?
Hold up. Chains is baked as hell.
No.
And principle number two, don't talk too little. Although talking too much can sell the mission, so can talking too little.
Hi there, what can I get for you?
Sir,
what do you want?
Hello, welcome to McDonald's. What the fuck do you want, bitch?
Yeah, we got a customer who's on fucking Mars.
And last, but of course not least, is the golden rule for pretending you're not zooted. Just say you're tired, bro. It's undefeated. It works like a fucking charm. It hasn't failed
has
yet.
Failed him yet. Yeah.
Chains, have you been smoking the devil's lettuce?
Nah, I'm just tired.
Oh, okay.
Hey, were you just smoking in the bathroom?
Nah, I'm just really tired.
Oh, okay, my fault.
So you're telling me you've been found driving with a joint in your mouth, 3 ounces of weed, and you failed the drug test?
Objection, Your Honor. My client here, he was tired.
Innocent. He's proven innocent. He's good.
So with all this being said, I think you're ready to go out. Well, where are you going anyways?
What? You're going to your grandma's 89th birthday?
Ah, shit. Good luck with that, man. Oh, grandson. It's so nice to see you.
Imagine putting in hard work, time, and dedication into saving up for some new shoes. You go to Foot Locker and find the perfect pair. You try them on, you check them out, and you cop them. And even though you spent your last $200 on these shoes, you're happy because you feel fresh as fuck and these J's might actually get you some bitches. But as you're leaving the mall, a gang of motherfuckers wearing shiesties take those J's right off your feet, leaving you shoeless, broke,
depressed, and with absolutely zero bitches. Now, personally, I wouldn't let that slide. However, when I was just a young, wholesome boy in 7th grade, I still wouldn't have let that slide. But I was weak as shit, so it would have slid anyway. I mean, in 7th grade, I could have got my ass beat by Hezbollah, bruh. I was a walking lick, which is exactly why I got a story for y'all today. So as I said, this story takes place in 7th grade, where I was young, innocent, and built like a string bean, bro. So one Friday night, me, Bob, and Billy were going to this girl's house for the three-man mission. The plan was simple. There was three of us and three of them. We would put on a scary movie, and if everything went to plan, we would get some cheeks. Now, just earlier that day, I had copped some fresh ass Jordans, so I've got a little confidence boost as we walk up to this girl's house. So we knock on the door, they open it, and we go inside. Now we stuck to the plan. We put on some cheesy horror movie, and one thing led to another, and by the end of the movie, Bob had all three girls, bro, and me and Billy were in the corner playing Bloons Tower Defense. Don't ask me how this shit happened, I don't want to talk about it. So after hours of me and Billy straight fumbling, we all decide to go home. And although I was a little disappointed in my performance tonight, I put on my brand new uncreased Jordans and I remembered, damn. Even Curry airballs sometimes. Now the bus route back to Bob's crib took two buses. So we hop on the first bus, it takes us to the next stop, and as we're getting off, we see the second bus we need drive right by us. Fuck, is that our bus? Damn, yeah it is. Wait, check when the next one comes. Yeah, it shouldn't be long. Damn, bro, the next bus comes in an hour. So we have no choice but to wait at the bus stop for an hour. So we wait and wait, and at this point, it's already getting late. I checked the time, and it's already 11 p.m. As we were sitting there, bored as hell, waiting for this bus to come, one of the other buses stops in front of us to let someone off. The person gets off, and as the bus starts leaving, we hear this loud thud come from the bus. What the hell? What was that? Oh shit, it's a baton. And as we're analyzing this baton that seems to have fallen out of the sky, some motherfucker wearing a shiesty walks up to Billy like, give me that shit, and straight snatched the baton out of Billy's hands. And Billy froze up. Bro was scared shitless, straight bamboozled. And the way the bus stop was set up was there was a main road, the bus stop, and behind the bus stop was a small hill with bushes on top. And when I say this shit looked like something out of a movie, I mean this dude wearing a shiesty walks back up to the top of the hill and a group of five other dudes walk out from behind the bush and they're shiestied up too, bro. They had to have been in at least grade 12, and to a 7th grader, that is scary as fuck. And I was no genius, but as that group of shiesties came out of the bushes looking like a GTA 5 cutscene, I came to the consensus that they were up to no good. Yo, those Jordans are looking my size. And this was the moment I realized I was about to get my shit robbed. So I started analyzing my surroundings and calculating my options. Maybe I can talk my way out of this. hey sir, how was your day today?
Shut up.
I said, what size are the shoes? Damn, I can't fight them. It's a 3-on-5 and they got the high ground and they got a baton, bro. They would knock my ass out and take the shoes.
But I'm fast. So if I take a right, then make a left, there's no way they can catch me. Wait, fuck, I can't run. I'd crease my Jordans.
And just as I had ran out of options, Billy says the last words I would expect to come out of this man's mouth.
Wait, Ethan?
Yo, who the fuck? Oh shit, Billy. Oh, I didn't know it was you, bro.
Man, Ethan, you had me scared for a second.
Damn,
man.
My bad, pimp, my bad,
yeah,
my bad.
Yeah, no, you're good. How's your mom doing?
Oh, yeah, she's doing good. Yeah, it's great to see you,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, you too, bro. See you around.
All right, peace out.
Y'all, don't worry. I seen a kid over there with some new forces we could snatch.
Oh, bet.
Yes, sir.
I bet.
Man, he's a good dude.
Nah, bro. He just tried to rob me. Who the fuck was that?
Oh, that's my long-time homie, Ethan.
Why do you know him?
Oh, yeah. We
went to the same preschool.
Same preschool? That dude looks 20, bruh.
Oh, yeah, no, he is. He just got held back a few times.
Held back in preschool? How the fuck do you get held back in preschool?
Oh, he used to beat up the other kids and then take their toys.
Oh shit. Makes sense.
So we bust back to Bob's crib, and as we're walking to Bob's front door, I stepped in mud. Bruh.
Billy is one of my closest homies, and we've been friends ever since we were little kids, and for as long as I can remember, but Billy's been a dumbass, bro. I'm talking, he's slightly retarded, you know what I mean? And everyone knows Billy for just two things. Always making the absolute worst decision possible, and always having the best stories, bro. Like, statistically, this motherfucker should have died 61 different times already, bro.
Nah, I got plot armor, bro.
Bro, no you don't.
I do.
Man, shut the fuck. Hey!
What the fuck?
Now, this story takes place on February 14th, 2025, Valentine's Day. And I'm gonna be so honest, this story is one of the craziest stories I've ever heard in my life, bro. So, wait, can you swear to them that is real?
It is.
Say you swear.
I swear, bro.
On everything you love, the Valentine's story happened, bro.
On everything I love, the Valentine's story really happened.
It was a fine Valentine's Day night. Bob, Billy, and I were awesome single dudes, except Billy had a little situation, you know? He was talking to a girl named Elise, and they would hang out from time to time, but it was a new thing, so they weren't really dating, and they were definitely not Valentine. Now, I don't know much about Elise, but just 2 weeks prior, Billy was telling me about how he met some cute girl. They would text, they would hang out, but for whatever reason, their conversations would always be some like,
hey, how you doing?
Oh, I'm good. I am a little bit stressed because I'm moving and everything.
Oh yeah, moving sucks. How about you come over, I relieve all your stress type shit.
Billy, I really like you.
I like you too, Elise,
but I think you might be a whore.
Wait, what?
Like, you're most likely a bop.
Okay, wait, I mean,
you're
like,
definitely a fuckboy.
Okay, chill now. I've never fucked a boy in my life.
So keeping that in mind, we were all single, and this Valentine's happened to land on a Friday, and because of this,
we go to the club.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So the plan was simple. We go to the drink store to get something to pregame, go back to my house, and then hit the club, fall in love, and live happily ever after. Now the problem was, Billy was stuck working a 9.5 hour shift until 10 p.m. Now he was the pizza delivery guy for a chain we'll call
Big Caesar.
So he's doing his thing, delivering those Valentine's pizzas. Well, me and Bob decide that we would go get the drinks now and meet Billy back at the crib once he's off work. So we hop in the car, we get to the drink store, and at this point it's 9:30 p.m. And so Bob calls Billy to ask what he wants. No answer. I call him. No answer. We both text him. Nothing. Now this was strange because Billy usually responds while he's working, but we shrug it off. We go inside the store and get Billy his go-to bottle.
Tennessee.
So we go back to my house and get to my room at about 10 p.m. and still no word from Billy. So we're waiting for a good 20 minutes and then I get a text message from Billy. The craziest shit ever just happened. So I'm like, what happened? Bro, it's so crazy, I need to tell you in person. So Billy whips it over to my house, kicks down the door, and instantly starts breaking down the craziest plot I've ever heard, bruh.
Yo, listen, this story takes place 1 hour ago.
It was 9:30 p.m. and Billy was finishing up a long 9.5 hour shift with his very last delivery of the night, but the problem was his phone was on 1% and he didn't even have a charger. So Billy locks in and memorizes all the directions to get there right before his phone dies. So from one side of the city, Billy goes 100% straight off the dome to the other side of the city for his last delivery on this fine Valentine's Day night. Billy hops out the car, walks up to the house, knocks, and they open the door.
Hey man, happy Valentine's Day.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much, but I didn't order a pizza.
Oh shit, are you sure?
Gerald, did we order a pizza?
Fuck no.
Yeah, no, we didn't order a pizza.
I don't know. It says a meat lover's pizza for 3516.
Oh, honey, no. This is 3416. 3516 is all the way around the back of the cul-de-sac.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Have a good night.
So Billy's walking for a good 8 minutes to get to the back of the cul-de-sac where at last he finds 3516. He walks up to the door, knocks, and a fine-looking woman in her 40s opens the door holding a vape, and Billy sees a little potential here.
Hey, happy Valentine's Day, man.
Aw, thank you.
Of course, beautiful. How's your Valentine's Day going?
You know, it's okay.
Why's this okay? You ain't got no special plans?
Well, honestly, my husband's out drinking at the bar, so... Bro, this
was the perfect situation for Billy, bro. There's so many things he could say to make a move right here, and out of the infinite combinations of words he could put together, he says,
"Well, a man's got a drink, you know?"
Yeah, okay, yeah, well, anyways, here you go. Keep the change. Have a good one.
Billy fucking sold, bruh.
He missed a wide open layup, and as he turns around to head back to his car in shame, Billy gets an idea. A genius idea, if I do say so myself.
So Billy turns back around, walks back up to the door, and knocks again.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, so, my car, like the pizza car, is on the other side of the cul-de-sac, so if there's any way I could cut through, it would save me like 10 minutes.
Yeah, yeah, of course, come in.
And this motherfucker just got his own rebound off the backboard, bro, but he only has 60 seconds on the shot clock to make a move, and so he starts breaking down that professional barrier.
So, what's your name?
My name's Angelina. What's your name?
My name's Billy.
Wow, you have a very beautiful name.
And you have a very beautiful smile.
Ah, thank you.
Holy fucking shit, he was cooking, but they had made it to the basement, meaning he only has 30 seconds left before he's back to the cold, lonely outside world. So Billy cooks up yet another genius play.
Angelina, I really hate to ask, but is there any way I could charge my phone real quick? Like, I just need to get it to like 5%.
Of course, honey, sit down. It's no worries at all.
This motherfucker Billy
did it again, bro. Now, I don't know if it's because she just wanted some human connection on his Valentine's night, or she was genuinely just being nice, but this motherfucker's now in a position where he's posted up on this woman's couch in her basement at 10 p.m. on a Valentine's night.
Yo, what flavor is that?
Oh, it's mango ice. It's my favorite.
Damn. You think I could take a hit?
Only if I could hit chores.
Oh, shit. I bet.
So as these two fiends are bonding over a little nicotine addiction, Billy's like,
"So you said your husband went up to the bar?"
Yeah, yeah, he did. To be honest, it kind of hurts, because, like, it just sucks to be alone on Valentine's Day, you know?
Yeah, 100%. I feel you. I don't go to Valentine either. Type shit.
Now, at this very moment, Billy's about to shoot a shot farther than a three-pointer. Farther than a half-court, full-court football field. This was a blindfolded shot from Mars by a six-year-old kid with Down syndrome, bruh.
I mean, shit. We could be Valentine's tonight.
Oh, that's so sweet, but my daughter's upstairs.
Ah, shit, yeah. I get it, but, like, this couch low-key spacious, though.
I mean, it's not that spacious.
Please?
Billy, you're funny.
Now, at this moment, Billy's 0 for 3 with these shots. I mean, the defense line was tough. She's got a whole husband and a daughter who's just posted upstairs, probably waiting for that fucking pizza. But to be fair, Billy was still on the court, but his phone was already at a good 3% charge, so he needs a game-winning shot right now, and so he reaches deep into his bag. I'm talking middle school years. He pulls out a shot I never thought I would see in the big 2025.
This flavor's fire. Yo, let me show you a new trick.
Yeah? What is it?
Alright, so it's called a transfer. Basically, me and you just transfer the smoke.
Okay, teach me.
You gotta come closer, though, alright?
This motherfucker Billy swished the shot, bro, against all odds. Just 15 minutes ago, he was some bum delivering her Big Caesar's pizza. All of a sudden, now she's hot and ready, bro. And so Billy's making out with some random dude's wife for a good 5 minutes. Then she's like...
Is your phone charged?
Yeah, I appreciate it. You know, let me charge everything.
Of course, honey, it's my pleasure.
All right, I'm gonna text you.
Okay, drive safe.
And Billy leaves this married mother's house after making out with her as the fucking pizza delivery guy. Bro, what the fuck? Billy, are you dead ass?
I swear to God.
Bro, that story is fucking insane.
I mean, shit. I'm not dumb, bro.
Because if there's one thing that Big Caesars taught Billy, it was how to deliver, bro. So he takes the receipt, boom, takes her number down and texts her. So he drives back to Big Caesars, goes in, clocks out, hops in a car, drives home, goes inside, showers up, gets out the shower to check his phone. No response.
Damn.
So Billy tries calling her straight to voicemail. He changes the no caller ID and calls again, and it rings, meaning... she blocked his ass, bro, and I have no clue why she would do such a thing. I mean, like, yeah, she has a husband and like a kid and probably another boyfriend on the side, but damn, say something. And that's the moment when he gets a Snapchat notification. Elise has added you as a friend. Now, Elise is the girl he's been talking to on Snapchat, so why would she even have him unadded in the first place? So Billy's like,
"You unadded me?"
And she just hits him back with a WID.
Shit, I just got off work. What you doing?
Oh, I'm just chilling at home. And then there's a brief pause. Do you know whose house you were just in?
Do I know whose house I was just in? Well, I've been to her house before. She doesn't even live close to...
Wait. And Billy starts piecing everything together. How Elise was moving houses. All the boxes laid out in that woman's house. How Elise's family loved eating Big Caesars. And the woman's daughter being upstairs the whole time.
Oh, fuck.
Billy hooked up with his girl's mom. Now, we have no clue what her mom told her, because it makes the most sense that she said something along the lines of,
hey, why did the pizza dude take so long?
Elise, I think he was flirting with me. Because let's be honest, what is the other option, bruh?
Hey, why did the pizza dude take so long?
Yeah, no, I mean, I just cheated on your father with the Big Caesars pizza delivery guy who actually just happens to be your age. So Billy's texting Elise, trying to play it cool, like,
oh, I had no clue that was your house. What are the chances?
And she just says,
yeah, I get my good looks from my mom.
And then she blocked him again, bro. Cause after telling her 100 times that he's not a hoe, he's not a bop, he's not a fuckboy.
I accidentally hooked up with her mom, bro.
Billy. You know I gotta make a video about this, right?
Yeah, I know.
Damn, light bulbs were such a good idea that they became the symbol for good ideas. God damn, I just spilled my water. Why does water make clothes darker if water is clear?
What the fuck?
Yo, there's two guys coming.
On me. Oh, I clapped his ass. Yo, Billy. Yeah, what's up? You see that lamp right there? Yeah. What about it? That lamp, in the video game, uses real life electricity.
Whoa.
You know what I just realized? When a morgue worker dies, he still goes into work the next day. Bro, how could he go to work? He's dead. Oh, shit. Oh, whoops. Just drop the soap. Wait, when you drop the soap, does the soap get dirty or does the floor get clean? Wait, guys. Since I'm alone, I'm the only person in the world to ever see this peanut.
Nah, I saw it too.
Who the fuck are you? Yo, when did you get so much money? Man, it's the money my grandma inherited me before she died. Yo, that's low key like when your homie dies in Fortnite and you pick up his loot. Come on, bro, my grandma's dead. Not cool. You right, my bad. Man, imagine the guy that discovered milk. And think about him convincing someone else to drink it. You did what to the cow? No, trust me, it's good, just drink it. Wait, you drink it too? Yeah, it's really good, look. Aw, oh, hell nah. Damn, bro, mosquitoes are some brave creatures. Considering those jits got 1 HP.
Facts.
Yo, Chains, you need your parachute to skydive. No, you don't. You just need a parachute to skydive twice. No, Chains! Well, what the fuck? Why did you just break my mirror? Well, actually, mirrors don't break. They simply multiply. Oh. Damn, bro. We're all just some walking nut, for real.
Facts.
Damn, for real.
It's crazy.
It's true, though. Oh, shit. I'm on fire. If you really think about it, you're not on fire. Fire is on you.
Call the fire truck.
Wait a minute. A fire truck? Is actually a water truck.
Oh, God damn, just call the truck. Jesus.
Bro, I was on fire. Why didn't you just call the fire truck? First of all, you weren't on fire. The fire was on you. Second of all, it's a water truck. Bro, I got the munchies. We should cook some cookies or something. Nah, you don't cook cookies. You bake them.
What? Then why are they called cookies?
Shit, I don't know. Cookies are just cookies.
No, that's like saying you cook bacon instead of baking it.
Well, actually, you do.
What the fuck?
Bro, what keeps the hot dog in like hot dog shape?
It's like meat inside some animal intestine casing or some shit.
Okay, so it's hot dog meat inside animal casing, right?
Yeah.
So, hypothetically speaking, once you eat the hot dog, it's still hot dog meat inside animal casing, but you are the animal casing. So, with that being said, when you eat the hot dog, you become the hot dog.
Just let me eat my fucking hot dog, bro.
And that is why Genghis Khan has the most descendants in human history.
I actually know someone with more descendants than Genghis Khan.
Well, that's impossible. Who could possibly have more descendants than Genghis Khan?
Genghis Khan's dad.
Damn, you know Google Maps, right?
Yeah, of course.
Bro, someone at Google really just said,
"Yup, let's just have someone drive down every road on fucking Earth."
And then they did it. You know how concrete and glass are both made out of sand?
Yeah, what about it?
So if concrete and glass are both made out of sand, does that make skyscrapers just really big sand castles?
Yo!
How tall is the tallest person in the world? I don't know, let me check. God damn, he's 8'1".
Holy.
You know what I'm thinking?
Yeah, imagine getting railed by this absolute...
No, I was thinking at one point, the tallest person has experienced the height of everyone else in the entire world.
Holy shit. Paper has 6 sides.
Shh. Like we're really just some talking nut for real.
Facts.
No cat.
Damn.
Just some breathing semen for real.
That's crazy.
For real.
That's facts.
So true.
Damn.
True.
For real.
Hey, little man. Well, what do you want to be when you're older?
I want to be a doctor and cure aging and all the diseases.
Well, if one day we cure all the aging and all the diseases, then we will all die painful and horrible deaths. I still don't understand why it's a chair. It just doesn't make any sense.
Yo, you know what I just realized?
What?
The size of your hands is the font size you use in sign language.
Oh shit. That motherfucker Shaq must be talking in all caps.
Sir, I am very sorry to inform you that you are bleeding internally.
Wait. I'm bleeding internally?
Yes, we will need an immediate operation and we will have to...
Oh, no. It's all good. Internally, that's where the blood's supposed to be.
No, sir. Where are you going? This is an urgent matter. Get back here. You're in critical condition right now.
Yo, can you pass the Apple charger really quick?
Yeah, for sure.
Yo, what if Apple chargers were called Apple Juice?
Whoa.
Damn.
Yo.
Apple juice?
Bro.
You know what I just realized? You can drink a drink, but you can't food a food.
Nah, that one was ass.
Yeah, you right.
Like, I mean, we're literally just semen that can talk.
So true.
Facts.
That's
facts.
So crazy.
For real.
Yo. When you put your socks on inside out, the entire universe is wearing your socks, except you.
Fuck.
Yo, look, it's a unicorn.
Damn, it's got a really unique horn.
Unique horn?
Unicorn.
Unique horn, unicorn, unicorn, unique horn,
unicorn,
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 unique horn. Oh, leaves are called leaves because they leave the tree. Holy shit, I got an idea.
Can you pass me the wrench? Rope. Glue. Piece of pizza, please. Tape. A little more tape. Damn. Big ass magnet. Alright, all done.
Whoa!
This bad boy uses zero gas. It's completely eco-friendly. Hop in.
Oh shit, there's a penny. Bro, there's no point in picking up a penny. It's literally worth 1 cent.
How much do you make working at Wendy's?
$15 an hour.
Oh, okay.
So you see, there are 3,600 seconds in an hour. And because you make $15 an hour, that is exactly 0.416 pennies per second. So with this being said, the second it takes to pick up this penny off the ground is a net positive outcome.
Oh, okay.
Wait a minute. Are stick men always naked? Holy shit, we are stick men.
What the fuck?
Yo.
Alright, class, today we're going outside for a run.
It's literally 0 degrees.
Oh, Chains. Don't be a bitch. It's not even that cold. See? I told you guys it's not even that cold.
Yeah, for you. Cause you're out here dressed like the Michelin Man.
High school PE is something different. And every PE class has 5 different types of people. Like the group of kids who just stand in the corner and occasionally get sniped in the head with a dodgeball. Or the kids who participate and make sure everyone is included. Or the legend who's chilling on Instagram. he follows at Chains for real.
There's also the dude who just never shows up. And of course, we got the sweats.
These motherfuckers treat PE like they're in the military. These motherfuckers treat PE like they're training for the Olympics. These motherfuckers treat PE like they're gonna get scouted to the league.
Which is honestly just funny as hell because, let's be honest, 85.7% of the class doesn't even want to be there. So you'll have some innocent souls zoning out during a basketball game, and all of a sudden they'll be getting posterized like they're playing against Ja Morant.
Yeah, bitch!
I mean, these kids will come out of PE drenched in sweat, breathing heavy, and with a smile on their face, knowing they dropped 104 points on some kids who have never touched a basketball in their life. And listen, don't hate me, but I do understand the appeal of sweating your balls off in PE. Because I too once participated in the sweaty activities.
Oh,
ow. Ow. I know, but there's just something so exhilarating about hearing the snapping of an unsuspecting freshman's ankles. But as I matured, I realized there was only one thing better than shitting on random students. And that was shitting on sweats. I became the anti-sweat. I would act like an innocent soul waiting to get posterized, but when the sweat would come in trying to end my career with a windmill dunk, I stuffed that boy like a Thanksgiving turkey.
Pause.
And don't get me started on
the fitness grand pacer.
Whoever created this legal form of torture will catch these hands.
Oh, Chains, no, I heard he sadly passed away a little while ago.
You could be having a good day and you pull up to PE like, "Hey bro, you know what we're doing today? I'm not sure, but I think we're playing soccer."
The fitness group.
No, it can't be.
Alright class, today we will be doing the beep test.
Fuck.
Whew. Damn, what was I at?
Chains, we haven't even started. That was just our warm-up.
But one thing that did bring me a little bit of joy was looking at everyone during the push-up section. Like, there was always some dude doing the neck push-ups,
some dude who thinks he's Mike Tyson, the guy who takes breaks when the teacher isn't watching, and there was always at least one dude who was out here looking like he was hitting it raw. James, I don't think that's how you do it. Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, bitch!
Bigfoot, the Loch Ness Monster, leprechauns, unicorns, two pretty best friends, and love. They don't exist, bro. I've looked far and wide, I've searched the depths of the valleys and the highs of the mountains, and yet still, one of the friends always gotta be chopped, bro. But love too, though, man. I've searched everywhere. I've scoured my hometown. I've gone from the coast of Mexico to the cities of Japan. But one way or another, I always just end up with nobody to love. Or I end up getting robbed by gay homeless, dude. I mean, I was down bad, bro. It got to the point I thought maybe I just wasn't meant to find a girlfriend. Maybe this was just a face only a mother could love.
Ew, get that shit off the screen.
What, Mom?
So I hopped on a flight to Barcelona, and this story takes place a few weeks ago. It's a new continent, new city with new people, and maybe even a new girlfriend. And so as soon as I stepped foot on that Spanish soil, I downloaded Tinder and got the swiping, bro. Fine shit, swipe right, cute shit, swipe right, chop shit. Swipe right, bruh, it's a numbers game. I done swiped so much my thumb had a six pack and I ran out of girls to swipe on. But shit, I mean, it's a numbers game. And since I pulled up solo dolo, I went and checked into a hostel. Now, if you don't know what a hostel is, it's pretty much like a little hotel, except you share your room with like six other motherfuckers. But to be fair, you save a lot of money. And I low-key don't mind sleeping with some random dudes if it means I get some extra change in my pocket. You know what I'm saying?
Is 15 enough?
Nah, the hostel is like 30-something.
Oh, nah, I don't need a hostel.
What? Wait, no, not like that, bro. Anyway, sleeping in that hostel was fucking crazy, bro. Like, first night I got there, I hopped in my little twin bunk bed and closed the curtains, and everyone was like,
"All right, good night, boys.
Sweet,
love you, motherfuckers.
Love you too,
y'all, motherfuckers. Yo, motherfucker on the top right bunk, say it back.
Good night.
And
I love you.
Love you too, bro. Lights out."
So the sun came up and my ass didn't get a drop of sleep. But regardless, I got out of bed, got some coffee, explored the city, hit the beach, got some food, all the normal shit you do when you're in a new city. But after a long day of tourist shit, I went back to my room. I went back to our room. I hopped in my little bunk bed and prepared myself to open up Tinder after letting that shit cook for a solid 24 hours. And when I opened that shit up, yo, I got 28 matches.
Yeah,
thank you, bro. Thank you, man.
Yeah.
Oh, hell no. Now I'm gonna keep it a buck. Initially, that number 28 was looking mad nice until I clicked that shit and started looking through my matches and realized, yo, this shit is not a numbers game, bro. Like, you know you're cooked when the chuds are sliding on you saying shit like, "Hey, yo, I'm trying to put you in chains for real and then touch your stick, man."
Yeah.
Nah, I'm deleting this shit, bro. And just as I'm about to give up on my dreams of finding my other half, I get a new match. It's Yvonne, straight dime, certified fine shit, bro. I had to slide in with some heat. So I'm like, Yvonne? Nah, more like King Vaughn, because I'm trying to take you to the O. Of marriage. Now that would be a crazy story. Opening bracket featuring Lil Durk, closing bracket. And before I send her some absolute bullshit,